Ladies and gentlemen, yes, it's another edition of the James Whale Radio Show. So here we go. A very warm welcome to you. Welcome to, yes, the podcast radio program that they're all trying to emulate. Now, there's a long word, emulate. It just rolls around the mouth. Why don't you all try it? All after me. One, two, three. Emulate.
Wow.
I didn't hear you.
Didn't you hear me? I definitely said it.
Emulate. Let me hear you.
Emulate.
Yes, not bad. Not bad, but not good. Not bad, but not good. So, have we all had our bacon butties today? Have we all had a nice bacon sausage? Maybe all the odd fried cigarette thrown in?
I don't think I had the last one, but I had a bacon butty the other day.
Yeah, I can't. Actually, when I think about it, the amount of burgers and the amount of shit that you eat, I'm amazed that you're still alive.
Why? What's wrong with burgers?
Don't you ever keep up to date with the news?
I heard something in the news that pigs can kill you.
No. Processed meat. You know, the odd little bit. I presume that means everything like ham, salami, kebabs. You know, where it's all the bits off the floor. The tastiest bits of meat apparently can kill you.
Right.
But then not looking when you cross the road. That can kill you too.
How can the tasty bits of meat kill you?
Well, it's all down to, you know, you eat this stuff and it'll kill you. I mean, something's going to kill all of us at some point. So I thought the other day, though, front page of practically, well, not every, but at least half a dozen of our daily national newspapers, front page was something about bacon or sausages now has been put in there as one of the carcinogens, one of the things like alcohol, like obesity, like smoking, that can cause cancer.
Is this to do with, like, smoky bacon?
Well, I think if you've got smoky bacon, you're wrong on all kinds of levels. Mind you, if I'm going to eat bacon, it has to be smoked.
We could have an industry where we could get all the smokers, you know, the ones that are standing outside all the shops and everything. They could go into the local butchers and they could sell a special brand of smoked bacon.
Well, before we go much further down this road, it may well be that if you're going to eat a bacon sandwich, you're going to have to go and do it outside, away from your workmates, you know. But you know, these things are sent to try us, and they do. Having said that, as somebody who has themselves had cancer, it's no laughing matter. You know, as long as you maintain a sense of tumour, you will be able to sort of move on.
Was there a joke in that then?
I don't know. I mean, probably the height of bad taste, but there we are. Obviously, if you eat the same thing day in, day out, oh, God, that would be boring. If I had a bacon sandwich every day or every week or even every month, come to that, I think I've had one this month that I can remember because, well, I know I had it yesterday just to be bloody-minded, to be honest. People have the same thing every single day, like you. Every day off to McDonald's, every day. And then you know, occasionally to sort of ring the changes, Robbo, what do? You go and get fried chicken.
Burger King.
KFC.
Yeah.
Domino's.
No, I'm not keen on Domino's. Sorry, Domino's.
Oh, no? Oh, good. Oh, so, oh right. Okay. Well, they were going to sponsor the podcast, but obviously not now.
Pizza Hut's okay, though.
I don't do Pizza Hut. I do occasionally Pizza Express.
I've tried a Pizza Express. They're nice, too.
Yeah. My favourite in the Pizza Express is American Hot with the jalapeno peppers. But then, of course, that's processed meat and cheese and everything. I mean, dear me, put me in front of a firing squad, for goodness sake.
I have a thin base with no cheese, just the tomato sauce with pepperoni, bacon and Cajun chicken.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. I like the one with just the anchovies. Do you like anchovies?
Oh, no, I couldn't eat fish.
Oh, I love anchovies. I absolutely love anchovies. But anyway, listen, welcome to the program, all those of you, and apologies to those of you living in the Middle East, particularly in Saudi Arabia, who may well be offended by us talking about processed meat, a lot of it from pigs.
Sorry, guys.
I'm getting fed up with offending people. There was a program on the television the other day about, you know, oh dear, I must be careful. Listen, as you know, I am a moderate man, not like some of these other podcast people who are, well, let's say they're just, they appeal to the thicker, rather stupid, portly and bald people. The ones who used to wander around shouting slogans and waving the flag of St. George. You know, those thickies, those people. I'm not wishing to sound too much like those. But being concerned about human rights and the fact that there was a story the other day about Jeremy Corbyn apparently has upset and offended the people in Saudi Arabia, the government in Saudi Arabia, because they think having a go about the fact that they don't allow women to drive cars. Let's make no jokes about that, by the way, because I'm being slightly serious. They think that it's perfectly acceptable to give an elderly gentleman 350 or 340 lashes because he brewed some alcohol in his home. They think that's acceptable. Jeremy Corbyn's taking the mick out of them. They're most upset. Actually, I think it's about time they sent this poor gentleman back to this country. If they don't want him over there, if he's offended them, if he's broken their law, deport him and send him back over here. I've got nothing more to say to you than that, except that I'm thinking of banning this program being broadcast in Saudi Arabia. Can we do that?
I suppose we could technically do that, but if someone else puts the program out, then we'd have no control over that, though.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, you know, but there are people in Saudi who write to us, I know, who like listening to this secretly, so we'll just leave it, shall we? But, you know, if members of the government are listening, you know, for goodness sake, pull yourselves together, will you? It's the 21st century. We're not living in the Middle Ages, even though some of my friends might like to.
In balance, shall I apologise to the people in Saudi for your comments?
No, I wouldn't. Don't. You're as much responsible for anything that comes out of my mouth as I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be very careful if I were you. The other thing now, apparently there's a drive, which I was talking about, there's a drive to try and make us stop doing things on a Sunday. As we know, the British Muslims have Friday as their day of religious rest. The Jewish population have Saturday. And apparently Christians have Sunday. So very strange, this whole thing. I find it really strange. Again, here we go, religious people wishing to inflict their views on the rest of us. Now, you know, if I want a day off, if I can afford to have a day off, I'll have a day off. If for some reason I want to work on a Friday, Saturday or Sunday, I will. And I don't care. Listen, if that offends your sensibilities, tough tits, I'm sorry. But I don't share the religious views of anybody in this country. I have my own private, personal views, and I will stick to those. So here we are. We've got them again. They go, you know, oh, yeah, well, some people are forced to work on a Sunday. Well, if people are forced to do something against their will, that is unforgivable, and I am totally against it. Now, let me go through that. How many people who follow religions are forced to do things they don't want to do? Oh, yes, quite a lot. Just, you know, let's lighten up, guys. Live and let live, shall we? That's all I ask. That's all I ask. It's not much, Robbo, is it?
No, but surely if everyone stopped doing stuff on Sunday, there'd be a lot more hardship in the world.
Well, if we're going to stop it, it's funny. The only people that that they get upset about talking about Sunday, keeping Sunday special. You know, if you're Jewish, you keep Saturday special. You're Muslim, you want to keep Friday special. If you want to do that, fine, do it, as long as it doesn't stop me doing something I want to do. But now the Church of England, and I don't know why we still have a Church of England, seeing that we are not really a religious country, are we? More of a secular country. But anyway, they want to keep Sunday special. But it's only the poor old people. Have you noticed this? It's only those people who work in supermarkets. If you have a small corner shop, you can work all hours your God sends.
Correct, yes.
You know, if you're going to stop working on us, this is what they'd love to do, stop everything like they used to. What happens then if you get ill? Are doctors going to be allowed to work on a Sunday?
So if you wanted to take your family and do a big family day out on Sunday to go to the pictures, the pictures would be closed because no one would be allowed to work in it.
Absolutely. What happens if you wanted to... does that mean the police don't work on a Sunday?
You want to go to the beach and buy an ice cream. The ice cream vendor will be closed on Sunday.
Exactly. You know, do you want to watch television on Sunday? Because you won't be allowed to do that. They'll close down the TV and the radio stations on Sunday. This is what happens in countries that become religiously motivated. It's not a question of, well, you know, I hope you find a faith, and we really do hope you find a faith. No, religions get a foothold and they impose it on you. They impose it on you.
I'd go on strike then.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't go on strike on a Sunday, can you? Because you wouldn't be allowed to.
So I'd have to work?
No, on Sunday you've got to do nothing.
So I can't strike or work on Sunday?
No, you can't. No, you can't do anything on a Sunday. You must relax.
Can I go to church?
No, you must... Now, obviously you can go to church.
But the vicar won't be allowed to work.
That's another point. He'll be able to work, but then he'll say, or she, not often she, and that causes another problem, he'll probably say, oh, but I'll take another... That's how vicars talk, isn't it? I'll take another day off. I might have a Wednesday off.
I don't think so. Not with your schedule.
Well, no, but you never know. So, you know, if it's just ridiculous. Please, could everybody just live and let live? If there are people who are told that unless you work 7 days a week, you're not going to get a job, then let's expose the companies who do that, all right? Let's expose the companies who do that. But it's been my experience, even in the strange world in which I inhabit, that if you really need a day off and you want a day off and you have to have a day off, that usually a decent employer will accommodate you.
I think that's fair, yeah. I agree with that.
I am a sensible person. Actually, let's talk a bit about this other thing as well on the programme today, and that is tax credits. And, of course, now the Chancellor's getting all upset about the House of Lords because they stopped his proposals for reducing tax credits and everything else. Now, I've got a bit of a problem. First of all, I think you obviously need another chamber to look after our interests, because even though we elected people to go into the House of Commons, you do need a fail-safe. Should it be the Lords that are now jam-packed with people's mates, that it does need to have some kind of second chamber? But I'm in favour of a second chamber of people that are not in any way related to the political parties. So I think we should have a second chamber jam-packed full of celebrities.
That'd be interesting.
That's what I think. People who have never worked for political parties. Perhaps on another programme we should come up with ideas as to how you could staff. And we could be called Lords, because I'd go for that. I'd quite like to be Lord Whale.
Well, you've got Lord Sugar, haven't you?
Yeah, and why not have Lord Whale? I mean, I think that's a good idea. But I think some of these people in there at the moment need throwing out. We get rid of all the religious people in there. We get rid of all the politically motivated ones. And let's have an impartial second tier. But let's have no more than, say, 500. Well, no, let's say 400. Let's have no more than 400. Because we're going to cut down the House of Commons. We're going to stop having as many members of Parliament. You don't have enough seats for all the politicians, lords, and MPs, do you?
Do they not? Well, that's a bit
unfair. No, they've got more than they ever had before. So cut them back. And they keep saying they're going to, but they won't, will they?
How do they get around with that with health and safety?
Well, you know, it doesn't apply to them, does it?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. But I have a problem with tax credits. First of all, people who are working to try and support their families are now going to find themselves worse off in some cases. Now, we're quite keen to stop scroungers, and I and everybody else. You see the stories in the paper of people with 15 kids on something like, I don't know, $4,000 a week or so. I'm exaggerating. But I think there is a necessity to sort this out. What is the point of paying somebody to do a job but not paying them enough and then giving them other people's tax money back so they have enough? It's bizarre. And it must be difficult. You know, first of all, you tax them and then you give the money back. Well, why not just not tax them in the first place? But secondly, Why are companies that are making huge profits having us subsidize their workforce? So if you work, I don't know, for a big supermarket that's making billions of pounds in profit, why are they allowed to get away with paying less than a living wage so that people then have to apply for benefits? Why does that happen?
That is a very good point.
I know. I'm James Whale. Welcome to James Whale's radio show. So that has to be sorted out. But in the interim, you can't allow somebody who's on a minimum wage. And I was speaking to a lady with two children on her own, bringing them up, who works 24 hours a week. She can't work more than 24 hours a week. She has two children. And with the tax credit situation, she is likely to be £50 a week worse off. Now, that might not be much to a lot of people, but if you're on a minimum amount of money with two children, £50 a week is a lot to suddenly lose when you've been used to something else. Whether or not we have too high a rate of benefits, that's another story. But you can't suddenly start taking money away from people who've become reliant on it. Because what will happen is a lot of people who are trying to work and trying to get back to paying their way fully are suddenly going to say, well, I'm not going to work at all. I'm just going to go, you know, and that won't work either. So I think we have to have a bit of give and take. And not as somebody on Twitter said, oh, James Whale sold out, he's soft now. Listen, there may be other people who say extreme things on the radio just to kind of get the thickos to say, oh, yeah, he speaks the truth, doesn't he? Because the thick people are the ones who see an easy solution to everything. So they're the stupid people. Oh, yeah, it's not our fault. It's all down to Europe, or it's all the fault of the Russians, or, yeah, I don't know. I don't mind what it is. There is no simple solution to the problems of the world. It takes discussion, debate, and thought. Anyway, you're listening to James Whale shouting his mouth off on the James Whale Radio Show, available, of course, to radio stations not only around this country who broadcasts, but all over the world. And whilst you're here, we're coming up to Christmas, Robbo.
Yes, we are. It's not far now.
No, we're coming up to Christmas, so why don't you check out our shop? Have you noticed that other people now are doing T-shirts and baseball caps and stuff like that?
Well, I think they've been doing T-shirts and baseball caps for a lot longer than we have.
Really? Yeah, but do they have the James Whale logo?
No, they don't.
No. So if you pop in our shop, which is at our website, jamesworldradio.co.uk, not only can you get those, which make great gifts for Christmas, but you can also, you can get a book called Almost a Celebrity in all forms. And there's other stuff too, isn't there? Mugs. We've got mugs.
Yes, we've always got a mug.
Yeah, we've always got a mug. So go and check that out. And just have a little look around the website as well. Now, I discovered a new band the other day, and I'd like to play some music for you. They're called Blurred Vision. You can check them out on iTunes and everywhere else. They're three young lads from Canada. They're now over here in this country. They are Iranian by birth, but they've had to leave Iran because they play rock and roll music, and that, as you probably know, is illegal in Iran. It is the music of the devil. But I was talking to them the other day. They say, listen, we've got lots of fans in Iran, and they love our music. So they're big fans of Pink Floyd. And what was the one big hit that Pink Floyd had?
Something to do with a wall.
They had loads of big hits. That was the answer to that, Rob.
They had loads of big hits.
Yeah, but Another Brick in the Wall was one of theirs. So Floyd actually got together and liked this band so much, they produced a different version of Another Brick in the Wall by Blurred Vision. It's from their album that is called, I forgot what it is called now.
Organized Insanity.
Organized Insanity is the title of the album. And this is a track that is their version. Listen to the lyrics carefully of Another Brick in the Wall.
Sorry, the number.
There we are. That's Blurred Vision. I'm a big fan, and that's another brick in the wall. So anyway, I'm putting the world to rights. Welcome to the program. Don't forget, if you would like to hear some more, there are about 100 or so hours available on our website, jamesworldradio.co.uk. Tell your friends. And soon, I'm told, we're going to have an app, so it'll be even easier to listen.
That's correct. Hopefully before Christmas.
Hopefully before Christmas. Why is it taking so long?
I need a shot of you in a phone box.
Why do you want a shot of that phone boxes that don't exist anymore?
There's one near my house. I found a really nice red phone box. So I need you to come all the way up to North Wales and stand in the phone box so I can take a picture.
Can we not, can we not Photoshop it?
Well, I was just using an excuse to see you again. But yeah, okay, I can Photoshop it.
Just bloody Photoshop it. That'll do, won't it?
Okay.
All right. Okay. Now, one of the other things was vexing me the other day, which we put out on Facebook. Have we dropped people on Facebook again or not?
You mean as you've unfollowed? If you, I don't know.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah. No. No. People keep saying, "Oh, I'm following you on Facebook," and I've been bumped off. I mean, do you know, we get to 5,000 and then you change them, don't you? We just sort of move them around a bit, don't we?
I think we use the word refresh.
Ah, that's what that button's for. Sorry about that. Right, okay. So anyway, you remember I was talking about Jeremy Corbyn upsetting the Saudis?
Yeah.
Asked the question, should he apologise? Bruce Allman said, anyone who can be offended should be offended. That's interesting. Thomas Johnson said, at the moment, they are about to crucify a 17-year-old lad. He was 14 when he was arrested, who they say offended them with his critical writings. Yeah, Thomas, that is disgusting. Mark Moody says, take him a bottle of scotch. That should smooth things over. Tom Poole, hello, Tom. Always good to know Tom's listening. Tom Poole says, what's offensive is the arms that we sell to the Saudis. They then use these in Yemen, apparently. Now, that is offensive to me. It's funny how we all get offended by different things. Bill Roberts says, the Saudi ambassador doesn't seem to know how British democracy and free speech works. It would be inappropriate for Corbyn to apologise, just as it is inappropriate for the Saudi ambassador to try and have some impact on British politics with his words. There's nothing wrong with the apologising if you do something wrong, but there's something wrong with a trading partner who seems to expect deference as part of the deal. Yeah, I think, Bill, you've got a point, mate. I think you have a point. There's loads of thoughts on that. We might come back to it. The other thing that was vexing me, which is, I suppose, as far as the world is concerned, not such a great problem. This whole problem now of paying to use hospital car parks. Have you come across this, Robbo?
It used to be the case in Wales, but as usual, Wales leads the way and we don't pay anymore.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I had no idea. So if you go and visit somebody in Wales, you do not pay to park in the hospital car park?
No, not anymore.
Excellent. Well, my Welsh side feels very proud of that, may I say. Very, very proud indeed. Clive Edo said people should not have to pay when visiting a hospital for treatment or having to stay for operations. But it's bad enough having to go to hospital without having to worry about paying. If people are visiting the sick, I suppose people should be charged for that, but not for the prices they pay now. Well, Clive, I disagree completely. I think if you're going to visit somebody who's ill in hospital, you shouldn't have to pay at all. I don't think there should be any charge. Chris Maddox says, as a retired nurse, I think it's sick to hit vulnerable people. Most people who get huge parking fees are those attending casualty as emergencies. And some relatives just go to the hospital without their handbag and then get a big fee. It is just insensitive and inhuman. And hospitals, if they are so short of money that they have to charge for parking, then they need to talk to the government again. Julie Morrill says, I don't mind paying a reasonable cost. Our local hospital at Barnsley charges about £150 for a couple of hours, so that's not too bad. Well, it depends how long you have to wait in there. And if you come out when you know, £150 to one person might not be too bad, Julie, but to somebody else, it might be quite a lot of money. Adrian Dawes says he pays £8.50 a day at University Hospital Coventry and Warwickshire. I suppose, is that because you're working there? I suppose if you're working there, it's your job, that's slightly different. But then if you're working there, there should be a car park for the workforce. I just don't think you should pay. Denny Robson says, I wouldn't mind paying if the monies went to the hospital, but it goes to a private company. And Ed Bredin says, James, it's a joke over here in Dublin. You go to the main hospital, which is Beaumont Hospital, and it's always jammed. And you end up going to the top floor, and again, it's a half hour gone by the time you get to the ward, and it costs by the hour. So by the time you've finished, you've got yourself a right lovely bill. So in answer to your question, no, we shouldn't pay. I think we should all move to Wales at this point, Ed, don't you? Jonathan says, unless the ambulance takes me, I'd rather not go to hospital. I'm with you. Stephen Westwood said, they should advise more people that if they have an appointment, they can claim the parking back in some circumstances. Interesting point. And Harry Vernon says, hospital car park charges is like charging your granny for being old. It's not her fault. She didn't ask to be old. It's not like she woke up and said, today is the day I'm old. It's a fact. We get ill, and if your family can't afford to park, then you die alone. Want to see granny last breath? £5 for 3 hours if you don't think she will last, or get a 24-hour pass and you might get to take her home. I think that's quite funny. Harry, thank you very much indeed for that. Unjust and unfair things to pay for. Robbo, here's another one for you.
You wait for me?
Yeah. You just say, yes, James, what's that?
Oh, sorry. I was going to say that we get free prescriptions in Wales as well.
And my English taxes are paying for it.
Well, you earn more money than we do.
Well, that's true, but then you haven't got anything in an economy. What have you got? You don't do anything in Wales. What is it in Wales that actually makes money for you? What is the industry? What is the one thing in Wales that you export to the rest of the world?
Well, we used to have, where I am, aluminium and power, but I don't think we've got either of those anymore.
No, I don't think you've got anything. I mean, if you were Scots, you could say, well, we've got North Sea oil, but there's not much of that left. You could say we've got whiskey. They do export stuff. There is an economy in Scotland. What is there in Wales? I say this lovingly as somebody who was born of a Welsh woman.
We've got wind farms, lots of them.
Yeah, but do you export the energy?
Well, I don't think it comes to us.
Well, there we are. You know, something you need to find out about. But injustice, right?
Okay.
And this was something else that was debated in the House of Commons the other day. Sanitary wear, tampons and the like.
Oh, I feel all embarrassed now.
Well, you should do, really, because VAT is charged on tampons. Why on earth what's going on? And Mrs. W is very vexed about this question herself. And she says, you know, why should a woman have to... There is no VAT on a man's razor.
Is there VAT on a woman's razor?
Ah, that's a very good point, and I don't know the answer, but there is no VAT on Jaffa cakes.
How did you get from sanitary stuff to Jaffa cakes?
Well, I don't know, but look, how can you justify charging VAT, even though it's quite a small amount of VAT, on something that is a necessity, when VAT is supposed to be a value-added tax? Can anybody answer me this? It's just ridiculous. VAT is charged on cakes but not biscuits, but not on Jaffa cakes. VAT is not charged on gentlemen's razors, but it is on ladies' tampons. Why?
Is there VAT charged on stuff that you buy that's basically medical, like bandages and things?
I don't think so, no. And what about condoms?
Well, then there shouldn't anything medical shouldn't have VAT in it.
Well, there we are. But the House of Commons went and had a vote. And I think it was 300 in favour of keeping it and 200 and something against. I bet if half, 50-50 were women in the House of Commons, it wouldn't be happening.
Then that's not fair, then.
No, life isn't fair. You got any thoughts on this? Of course, you can always get in touch with us here at The James Whale Show at jameswhaleradio.co.uk by emailing me. You can email me at jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Thank you to everybody that's got in touch. And of course, we've got a phone number now. You can always call me on 0117 230 1771. That's 0117 230 1771. Leave a message. And if you want to be on the program, leave your number and we'll call you back. And maybe you can have a chat on the show as well. What's the number?
0117 230 1771.
Leave your phone number and we'll call you maybe next week on the programme as well. If you have any suggestions as to guests you would like to hear on the show, Mike Batt, Chief Womble, but also a musical genius who was last week's guest, seemed to go down quite well, didn't he?
Yes, it did. A lot of people like the Wombles.
Yeah. Let's not start the Wombles again.
No, don't sing again.
Now, let me go back to the music on the show, Blurred Vision. And I really, from time to time, we've had Freeway Mad on the show. They're good, and they've done one of our jingles. But Blurred Vision, couple of Canadian lads over here now in this country. They are Iranian by birth. And Organized Insanity is the name of the album. Now, this is a track they wrote, and I think this is just, we're talking about Tony Blair, who decided to kind of do a half-hearted apology about the Iraqi war. In fact, you've been getting in touch with me about that. We'll talk about it in a moment. But first, let's have a listen to Blurred Vision and their track called No More War.
People.
Blurred Vision and No More War. So, Tony Blair apologised for the Iraq... Oh, shit. Hang on just a minute. Hello? Hello? I beg your pardon? Yes?
I don't know whether you've previously had any installation in the property there, either in your cavity walls or your loft, is that right?
Sorry, I'm a bit hard of hearing, darling. Could you say that again?
Sorry, you had some insulation installed in your property?
Did I?
In your cavity walls, your loft, maybe a while ago, is that right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I think I did, yeah.
Yeah, it could have been quite a while ago. I mean, yeah. That scheme might have saved you a little bit of money on your gas bills.
Yeah.
But this new government scheme I'm ringing about today is going to save you a bit of money on your electric bills.
Oh, that's good.
Fully funded solar.
Yeah.
With no outlay and no upfront cost, something like that. I mean, it's all paid to you through the government's feeding tariff.
Oh, right.
Have you ever looked at your solar energy before, sir?
No, no. And I haven't got very much money, though.
I wonder, like I said, there's no money involved for you at all in this scheme. It's actually offered to homeowners between the ages of 35 and 75. I mean, do you fall into this category at all?
Yeah, yeah, I'm 69.
Oh, that's perfect. I mean, obviously, you would actually still be entitled to this benefit. I mean, did you say you've looked into solar or ever considered your property before?
Well, as I said, dear, I can't really afford it. So how would I afford it?
Oh, yeah, like I said, there's no money for you at all. I mean, with your scheme, you're going to be getting a tax-free income. Anything from £1,200 each year.
Yeah.
As well as saving anything up to 75% off your electric bills.
Yeah.
So we're going to try and get that tax-free income.
Yeah.
It's going to be greater than the cost of the panels themselves. So you're not actually paying any money out of your own pocket.
Okay, so how much...
fully funded by the government.
How much can you guarantee me a year then?
Yeah, well, it obviously depends on how much electric you actually generate now in your property.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know how much you spend on your electric bills a month?
About £100 a month or something.
£100 a month?
I've got a few people live here. We're like a hippie commune.
Oh, so there's quite a few of you who use the electric
bills. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you would get a big saving off your electric bills, anything up to 75%.
Yeah.
So it's quite a big saving.
Right.
As well as getting that tax-free income.
So what do I have to do then to...
What we do at the moment, sir, is to set up non-obligation assessments for yourself. We get one of our technicians to come out to you. All it is 45 minutes to an hour with time. And they're just going to see what your roof space is like there on the roof, so we can fit the solar panels on there. Not on the dome or anything like that. They're going to leave you all the facts and figures in black and white for 12 months. So you've got a whole year to actually make a decision in your own time and then get back to us.
Yeah.
If you haven't got to commit to anything there on the day or sign anything or make a deposit, you've got a whole year to think about it with your partner.
You talk very quick, darling, don't you? I have to take a while to get all this down. Why do you talk so quick?
I'm sorry, did you not hear what I said? I said we're going to be doing a non-obligation assessment. It takes 45 minutes to an hour.
Are you chewing gum while you're talking to me?
No, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, could you understand what I was saying?
Yeah, yeah, you want my roof.
Yeah, we're just going to see if your roof is suitable for the panels that should be installed on your property.
Well, it is. It's a roof, darling. It'll be all right. So when do I get them installed?
Well, obviously, it depends if you want to go through with it or not.
Why wouldn't I? If I get it free, why wouldn't I want to go through with it?
Well, obviously, you don't have nothing free, sir. It's fully funded.
You told me it's free.
No, it's not free. You won't be paying any money out of your own pocket.
Well, if I'm not paying any money to me, that's free.
No, we're going to try to talk about tax-free income you're getting. We'll actually cover the cost of the panel, so you're not actually paying any money out of your own pocket.
You told me I'd get money.
Yeah, you'll be getting a tax-free income. Obviously, it depends on how much electric gas you're generating there in your property.
Yeah.
And it can be anything from £800 to £1,200.
You're lying, aren't you?
That's what the non-obligation assessment's for.
You told me, never mind about that, darling. How much am I going to get free?
That's why I said, obviously, it depends on how much electric you're generating there. So we're going to see on the non-obligation assessment, which takes 45 minutes to an hour every time.
Yeah, don't go through it. Go back. Hey, I know you're reading this, darling, but you've got to listen to what I'm saying, right? Now, is it true that if I go through with that, you own my roof?
No, that was actually the previous government scheme of renting your roof. So obviously, we have a...
No, that wasn't the government scheme. Listen, darling, no. No, you've got... Oi, stop talking at me. I don't like it, right? How long do you have on your clock to talk to me?
Oh, I can spend as long as I want. I just talking to customers.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. It's a lovely day outside, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Lovely day
to get a solar panel, sir. Yes, yeah. So if I sign up for this, and I want to sell my house, what is the problem?
Well, it will actually up your property price anything about 8%. Obviously, the previous government scheme was renting the roof out, so you wouldn't actually, it would cause troubles moving if you went through that scheme. The previous government scheme would actually cause troubles if you're moving. Whereas now this scheme is fully funded, so it would actually up your property price by 8% if you decide to move the future.
When
we actually install these panels onto your new property for free of charge if you decide to move. Yeah.
Can I hang on, back up. So you're going to give me the panels free of charge, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and then you're going to take some money out of the money that I generate for the electricity, right?
Yep.
Okay, and how long is it before I've paid for the panels on my roof?
Well, usually it takes around 6 or 7 years to actually pay off through the government's feed-in tariff, not out of your own pocket. And after the panels are paid off themselves, you'll actually be receiving that tax-free income every 3 months through direct debit or cheque. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but how much of that lovely lolly will I be getting?
Well, it could be anything up to £1,200. Like I said, depends on how
a month
you're generating this.
1,000. How many panels would I need on my roof to actually?
Yeah, well, that obviously depends on how much electricity you're generating. If you're generating a lot of electricity in your property, and you see there's quite a few people using the electricity there, more panels would be better off on your roof, maybe. Maybe you could fit 16 panels up there. Obviously, if you said you're not generating too much electric, maybe not spending too much a month, maybe only 6 panels.
Now, how do we... There's another problem, darling. How do we get over this that I live in a flat on the 14th floor and there are 4 flats above me? So how do we get over that?
Well, sir, we can't actually do flats.
Oh, well, you could have bloody told me that in the beginning, couldn't you?
Did you say you're on the 4th floor flat?
Yeah.
So how can we put solar panels on your flat?
Well, I don't know. I'm not asking. I'm the one who's just... I want the free money.
Okay, sir. No worries. We can't have 2 flats anyway.
Oh, well, that's no good. You got me all excited and now you're leaving me.
All right. Sorry, sir. No worries, then.
No, I've got a lot of worries. Can I share some of them with you?
Yeah, of course you can.
I want that. Is there no way we can do this?
Maybe if you moved into a house or a detached house, a semi-detached house, a bungalow, we could actually install the panels on your property. But we can't actually put them on flats. So obviously, how are we going to put panels on the flat if you've got loads of flats on top of you?
Where do you live?
I live in a house.
I'll move in with you.
Oh, I don't think you'd be able to move in with me, sir. No, I don't think you'd be able to, sir. Sorry.
Oh, well, that's not very nice, is it?
I know. Maybe if you decide to move house in the future, you can give us a ring back and get some solar panels on your property then.
Oh, then I could move in with you.
No, you won't miss moving with me, sir.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, bye-bye then.
Bye, have a nice day.
Do you know, I feel so bad about that now. I know, I do. I feel so bad about that now. But if I keep getting these flipping calls all the time from people who are trying to sell me stuff, leave me alone.
So you don't want solar panels on your house then?
I don't want solar panels on my house. If I want solar panels, I will find a company. And I'm sure that wasn't a con. I'm sure they'll come. But... And just strange that while we're doing the show, I get another phone call. I've had about 5 over the last couple of days.
You need to register your phone number with the Don't Disturb.
I have. It doesn't work.
Oh.
They just get these numbers, and you can do that, and they get them, they put them through a system. They keep phoning you. And the thing I find funny, and this is a point for anybody who advertises, if you want to advertise solar panels, come to me. You can advertise on this program. If you ring people cold with someone, I'm sure she's a very nice girl, but who just talks at you nonstop because they're reading a script, and they go like that all the time. The best thing is just put the phone down and say, no, thank you, bye. But every now and then... I just get the urge to do that, which is a bit naughty, I must admit. Now, where were we before I was so rudely interrupted, Robbo? We just heard Blurred Vision and No More War, hadn't we?
That's right, yes.
Yeah. Well, of course, I was going to talk about fat Tony Blair apologised for the Iraqi war. Well, near sort of. Sort of. And did ask this week, is it enough or should he have not apologised at all? And loads of you got in touch. These are just a few. Jill says both Blair and Bush should be charged with war crimes. I'm not sure that you can do that. Paul Hyam says David Cameron should apologise for putting the country in the mess it is in today. Well, you know, when the elections come round, that's when you can deal with politicians. Bruce Ormond says Tony Blair simply getting his retaliation in first before the Chilcot inquiry is published. Wendy Wright said he should be made to answer for his actions. He followed the Americans into it and he knew exactly what he was doing was wrong and unlawful, so he should be made to pay. Do you not think perhaps Tony Blair was just a little ignorant of world politics? He wanted to be up there on the world stage and didn't realise perhaps what was going on. I mean, I wonder, everybody got excited. David Cameron there, was it David Cameron who went into Libya after Gaddafi had been toppled and said, oh, you know, we stand with you? Was that Libya? I can't remember. You know, there is no doubt that these dictators are appalling and they do some awful things to their own people. But before you get rid of them, you have to have something else in place. And, you know, when there are so many different factions, so many different kinds of religions, when you take away a strong dictator, however appalling that person is, you've got to have something. You've got to have something in his place. Otherwise, what happens is these countries just fall into complete anarchy, which is what we're seeing, isn't it? Am I just sensible? I don't know. Alan Goodfellow says he probably thinks by apologising he will get absolution. I don't know. James Watson said he should stand trial in The Hague. I think people keep on going about, you know, politicians make decisions and sometimes they make wrong decisions. This whole thing about Tony Blair being a war criminal, I think that's just another conspiracy theory, don't you? If you think I'm wrong, by the way, get in touch, jamesworldradio@gmail.com. Jonathan Cooper says, when a Prime Minister of Great Britain stands up in the House of Commons and declares to his fellow MPs, his fellow countrymen, his fellow countrywomen, and the world at large, in fact, that Iraq has the capability of attacking the West with weapons of mass destruction within 45 minutes, claims that were unfounded at the time by the United Nations, as well as Blair's very own ex-foreign secretary, then sorry, it's most certainly not enough. I think you're right, Jonathan. Very right indeed. Thank you for all of those. Don't forget, suggestions for guests as well. Email me, jamesworldradio@gmail.com. Now, are we going to do tech talk?
Yes, we can do tech talk. Bit of a moan again at Apple.
Oh, dear. What have Apple done? When am I going to get my Apple 6S, SV, whatever?
Do you really want one now? They've upset me
probably
so much
not
recently.
What have they done now?
I started getting texts on my phone saying that my free internet plan is going to be running out soon because I'm using it too much. And I thought, this is strange. Yeah. I've had an Apple phone for years and I've never had this message before. And then, sure enough, it ran out. So I had to turn off my cellular data in the settings so I didn't go over and I'd be charged. And then I read in the news that it's not just me. And apparently with this new iOS 9 that we moaned about a few weeks ago, they turned on a thing called Apple Wi-Fi Assist.
Right.
Which, basically, if you're in your own house and you're into, like, the bathroom to sit on the toilet reading the news on your phone, for example, and your Wi-Fi signal isn't that strong, and your 4G or 3G is, it will switch in the background to using your mobile phone data plan.
Oh, dear.
So you end up with huge bills. And the people in America apparently are having thousands of dollars added to their phone bills, and there's a big mass court case against them at the moment. But I'm not sure the same will happen in Britain because we don't do that kind of thing.
Well, if it goes well for them in America, then we should. I wonder why my bill this week had been. But mind you, I'm on Vodafone.
Well, I'm on Vodafone as well. It was them that were sending me the messages, which was nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, luckily, I haven't had the messages, but I've got my data this and data that all turned off.
Yeah, so if you go to your phone settings and turn off Wi-Fi Assist. You won't be stung. The other news is, of course, Apple have fixed the bugs in 9. And they brought out 9.01, then 9.02, then 9.03, I think. And now they brought out 9.1. So within the space of a month, they've updated our phones 4 times.
Well, every time I get a thing saying, do you update this service, press now, I don't do it.
I think 9.1's okay.
Do you?
Yeah, take a chance on 9.1.
Take a chance on me?
Or 9.1, whichever.
Or 9.1, yeah. Do we have questions for the Great Whale or not today?
We
run over our allotted time.
I'll squeeze some in.
I think you should, but read them properly, will you?
Hang on, before we go ahead, didn't you ask last week about deep heat?
Yeah, I did, didn't I? I've forgotten all about that because I didn't know the answer, did I?
No, so we've had a few replies.
Oh, really? Okay. Why does deep heat not heat your hands up when you rub it in? I've no idea. Why not?
I think Harry Vernon has got the closest answer that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Let's see if it makes sense to you.
Well, let's have a look. What does he say?
It says, it actually does heat up your hands, but your hands are used to higher temperatures, so therefore you don't notice as much.
And Andy Matter says, tougher skin on the hands works best on fatty and muscle areas. My hands are quite muscly. Lisa Jane Partington says, it doesn't even heat up my aching muscles. Never mind my hands. Well, Lisa, you need somebody to rub it in for you.
Mm.
Rob's available.
I'm always available. It's just whether I want to do it or not.
Oh, right. Okay. He's a bit touchy. I'm sorry, Lisa. And he's also very picky.
Touchy and picky. Not very...
Yeah. Right. Let's get on to the question. So we don't know why it doesn't heat up your hands, but it's because your hands are used to... God, my hands are... I'm looking at my hands. They're so gnarled now. It's probably because of my toxophily.
Come to think of it, it does sound like a skin complaint, toxophily.
Look it up. Okay, questions.
Questions, here we go. Simon D. Halliday.
Hello, Simon D. Halliday.
Why doesn't superglue stick inside the tube?
Well, that's a good question. Why doesn't any glue stick inside the tube? And the reason is it's a chemical reaction with the air when it comes out.
I was going to say, my tubes of superglue, every time I go to open them, if you've opened them once and left them in the cupboard for a few weeks... You ain't getting any super glue coming out because it is stuck inside the tube.
Then you must have sealed it wrong.
Theoretically, I've sealed it with super glue.
Well, yeah, but you've got a hole and the air's got in there because I've got super glue here. I've had a little pot of super glue here for years. It's still runny.
Alan Hill thinks he's going to challenge us again this week.
Oh, gosh. Why? Okay, go on, Alan.
Okay, he wants to know the answer to the old question. If Pluto is a dog... What on earth is Goofy?
If Pluto is a dog, what is Goofy? Well, Goofy's a dog, but just doesn't have such a good private medical plan as Pluto, and so his teeth are not quite as straight.
That is not the answer that I was expecting.
No, but it was an answer. And if you have questions for the whale, get them in as soon as you can. JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com. I bet there's not a question that you can stump me with, unless, of course, it's about deep heat heating up your hands. Next one.
Simon Hutchinson, why can't we tickle ourselves?
Why can't we tickle... Did you say why can't we tickle ourselves?
No, I didn't. I said ourselves.
You better edit that.
I don't think so.
Why can't we tickle ourselves? I don't know about you, but I can.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah. Oh, dear, yeah.
It's next. Just try gently. Just do it gently.
Yeah, try it gently. Find a bit that's responsive and just rub it gently, all right?
Or put your tongue on the top of your mouth and rub it backwards and forwards.
Yeah, it's good. Okay.
Bill Roberts, who likes custard creams?
God, Bill, you've been in with the questions and everything else, haven't you, Bill Roberts? Who likes custard creams? That's not really a question, is it?
Well, it is.
How come? Is it? Well, everybody likes custard creams then.
It is a question because it's got a question mark at the end of the sentence.
Oh, it must be a question. Well, everybody, I don't know one person who doesn't like a custard cream.
I hate the coffee ones. Oh, horrible. Used to have them as a kid. Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could get coffee custard creams.
Coffee creams, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, oh, God, no, that's a different... That's not a custard cream.
Well, it's exactly the same as a custard cream.
Yeah, but it's brown. A custard cream is yellow. It can't be any other colour.
All right, Tim Summers. How many people actually get to the bottom of a mustard jar before it goes out of date?
I don't know anybody, but I've just thrown three away that I found in the fridge of varying ages, of different sort, you know, Dijon and English and French and various other sorts of mustards. It's a really good point. If you get mustard powder, you can make your own mustard up, just enough for when you want to use it. Listen, I've got to go. There's some chap at the door now wants to talk to me about putting solar panels on my roof.
Has he got a ladder?
He'll need it.
In your flat?
Yeah. Up here on the 14th floor.
All right, I'll see you next week then.
Right, well, I better go, I suppose. He's going to get such a shock when I tell him what to do. But never mind. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, check out our website, jamesworldradio.co.uk. And if you want to be on the show next week, all you have to do is call us on 0117 230 1771. Say goodbye, Rob.
Goodbye, Rob.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/JamesWhaleRadioShow or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.